Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, John Junta. We're here with a special guest, a guy that's a double-A all-star, 2.76 ERA 2 years ago in double-A. It's my pleasure to welcome Nolan Long to the Officially Unofficial Podcast. How are we, brother? How are we doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah, honestly, we had to get you on, and Mike obviously talked highly about you, friend of the show now, Mike. You guys call him Oil, but I got to bring it up here. I mean, let's go into that nickname, the Oil Man. Why hasn't he embraced it? Why doesn't the people in the Phillies organization call him that? Because that is absolutely electric.
Dude, it's a sick nickname. I mean, he's just kind of like a low-key guy. I don't know. I mean, you could just see, I mean, you know his story. He just kind of stormed onto the scene of professional baseball, and I mean, his story is pretty unreal, but like he doesn't really talk about it much. And I mean, whoever calls him Oil, but I mean, like you worded it perfectly. It's a sick nickname that I feel like Philly fans just need to just grasp. Because I mean, when he explained it to me, I met him at Wagner, and everyone was just calling him Oil. And I was like, yo, why is his nickname Oil? And I mean, just the explanation, you had too many mics and the family business is Oil, and you just call him Oil.
So, yeah, when he said that in my mind, I'm like, okay, so this guy's rich as fuck. Like, I respectfully said that in my mind. I was like, all right, Mike, so you got that money going down there. But I got it because obviously there's going to be a movie made about him someday. A guy that was legit coaching baseball, went to a workout and was throwing 98. So I got to ask you, I mean, are you close enough to him where you would have a role in that movie? Like, will you be casted like a background character? What's the deal with that?
Dude, I don't know. I hope so. I mean, not that I give a shit or anything, but I mean, it would be kind of cool. I mean, I moved in with him last offseason, like the COVID year. I mean, it was just a mess. Like all like guys in the minor leagues who just didn't have a place to play. I went and lived with him at his place in Jersey. And I mean, that was when he like really kind of was like doing his thing. And I watched him throw in front of a couple scouts and absolutely electricity coming out of his arm. And just like kind of these jaws on the floor of these scouts, I'm like, dude, like, and I was literally telling him, I was like, you're just scratching the surface right now. You're about to have a wild ride. And it's sure enough, he did. And when he lit it up at that pro day, within a couple hours, he was signed. He called me right away. And I was like, dude, I told you. I was like, you're just getting started right now.
So we didn't go, I mean, with him, I didn't really go in depth about that pro day. I'm assuming you probably heard stories about it and all that kind of stuff. Was it to the point where it's like, how can I like picture this? Was it to the point where it was like there's just a shit ton of scouts with radar guns like doing that second check look at the gun after he throws a pitch? Like what was it kind of like?
Well, I wasn't there, but you got to think he's got a pro day. He's got his own facility with all his high school dudes, his college dudes trying to get exposed in front of these pro scouts. So like his main concern are his dudes underneath him. He's like, I'm going there. Whatever happens, happens with me. But like, I got to make sure my guys are in check. They look good. So like, he's not even really thinking about himself first. Like he's just kind of making sure his young dudes look good for the pro scouts. And then next thing you know, he's on the mound at sitting 98. And then he gets a standing ovation from everybody who's there. Dude, he got a standing ovation. The guy who literally goes to those pro days, because he's been to those pro days before, but he's been you know, standing behind his boys, like kind of like, you know, this is what we're going to do kind of thing, breaking it down, like hyping them up if they need it. And then so these guys who have been there, like see him, but now he's throwing. And like I said, throwing absolute jets and just hitting all of his spots, I guess. And then he said, he goes, when he walked off the mound, he got a standing ovation. I was like, I've never heard that before. And the next thing you know, he signs a professional contract a couple hours later.
That I need some sort of, I will pay for the security cam footage of this guy at a pro day, a coach stepping off the mound to a standing O. Like, do you think he tipped his cap or what was the deal with that? Like, or was he just eating it?
I mean, just the whole, like, just kind of his personality with the whole oil nickname that he doesn't embrace. He's just like, they got video of it. If you ask him, there's video of it somewhere of him throwing it, and it went viral. I mean, it was on TikTok. It was on Instagram. It was everywhere. Just this coach, literally, I don't think he threw a pitch below 97.5, and it was 97.5 to like 98.4 or something ridiculous like that.
And what my thing is with me, I don't know if you listened to the full podcast last week, but he said he didn't know he was throwing 97, 98. Okay, maybe he's being the humble guy, but how the hell do you not know when you're throwing 97, 98?
Okay, as a thrower, I totally believe that, because there are days where I'm like, yo, I feel great, right? Can I cuss on here?
Yeah, you can, like, fuck, shit, bitch, whatever. You can say whatever you want, man.
No, there are days where I'm on the mound, I'm like, yo, I feel fucking great. Like, I'm throwing hard. I come back and they're like, nah, dude, you were not throwing hard. And then there are days I feel like shit, like maybe didn't sleep well or whatever the case may be. And I'm out there, I'm like, yo, I just didn't have it today. And they're like, yo, you were actually pumping it today. So it's like, there's just that mental, there's just some disconnect between your dome and like your arm, I guess. That's just, so I totally believe that. Cause I mean, he throws hard, but like, I mean, 97.5 to 98.4 in a bullpen in sneakers on a turf mound. I mean, come on. That's just like, that's ludicrous.
The thing is, and obviously I'm a big baseball watcher. What I'm not looking forward to is every single time I watch him on the mound now, when he's in the show or whenever he gets up there, they're going to bring the story up. It's going to be like, it's going to be like the Matthew Stafford, Clayton Kershaw thing where they have to mention every single time they're on TV that they're best friends. I'm going to be listening to the reiterations of the story on the Phillies broadcast every single time I watch Mike Adams pitch. And I'll be like, listen, I was riding with this dude before he was in the show. It's going to be a little bit of aggravating, but that's going to be mentioned. Maybe we'll do a drinking game. Every single time they talk about it, you have to have a drink. Cause it's going to be,
I'm telling you, that's a good drinking game. Cause rightfully so, he deserves that story to be told a million times.
Yeah. He really does. He's a freak, man. I mean, I see Phillies fans are literally stroking him off on Twitter. Like, they might not start a riot in Philadelphia to get this guy up in the show.
They need to get him up there. I mean, come on.
And that bullpen is so sorry. I mean, it's like, and I say it all the time, the Phillies bullpen, you know how much money that team, I'm a degenerate gambler. That bullpen has lost me so much goddamn money. It's like, he's so good. He skipped three levels in the minors. He's in AAA right now. He was in indie ball like, what, 2-3 years ago, playing men's league 2-3 years ago. And now he has like a 2.7 ERA in AAA. People don't realize how absurd that is. It's like, yeah, you got to tip your cap though, man. I mean, what was it like at Wagner? Was he throwing that hard at Wagner too?
He was the fast twitch, like, because he went to Wagner as a shortstop. And he,
Oh my God.
I mean, the story keeps getting longer. I'm telling you. And, so we went to Wagner as a shortstop. I was a year behind him. We're the same age, but like, grade wise, I did an extra year. I did a post grad year of high school. But when I got to Wagner, when I was a freshman, he was a sophomore. And I mean, obviously as a thrower, like your ego kind of takes over, like, all right, I got to assess the situation. Who's the hardest thrower here? I was like, all right, this little skinny guy right here throws pretty hard. But like at the time, like hard was like 92, 93, yeah, touch of 4, maybe a 5. So I was like, okay, this kid. And then like when he was a starter, I mean, he kind of bounced around from the pen and whatnot, but like I'd watch him throw and he's like, just like his arm moves so fast and like everything. So like, obviously he draws attention, like as a thrower, you appreciate that. You watch him, but like, no, he wasn't doing like what he's doing right now, because I mean, after Wagner, after indie ball, whatever, what the career path he took was literally just to study hard throwers, study pitchers, study the human body.
on like the most efficient like patterns your body can move in to like produce this force. And like, honestly, he produced a 100 mile an hour fastball on accident. Like literally he was like, he never threw, yo, I'm telling you, after Indy ball, he never threw a pen for himself. He never threw weighted balls for himself. He never played catch for himself. He was literally showing these high school kids, these middle school kids who are now, you know, in college and in pro ball right now, how to throw with the correct movements. And then literally it's like, and like the men's league game, I don't know if he told you the men's league game. So I could talk about Mike Adams all day. I don't know.
No, well, yeah, the men's league, he said he was throwing 98 and he didn't have any idea. His buddy came to the field and radar.
Yes, yes. He's like, dude, they're like, yeah, you were like 94, 97. He's like, I was just trying to throw strikes. I had no idea.
That kid's such a freak,
and
we
still give him shit because he still wasn't punching guys out as much. And I mean, he's punching guys out more now, but he was throwing hard, but he wasn't punching guys out in men's league. So yeah, you were throwing 98, but you know, we got to keep him grounded a little bit. We chirp him like, oh, yeah, you couldn't strike out the father of four. Who's?
I should have said that, too. I mean, I didn't bring up his stats. But another thing that's crazy about you is that I didn't realize is you could legit suit up right now and play lineman in the NFL. I mean, you're 6'10", 255. Is that correct?
I'm actually probably closer towards like 265, 270 right now.
Okay, but, so you're bulked up a little bit.
Because like right now I just had TJ in June and – so like right now I'm kind of like the toughest part about coming back from that is having that tight leash where you can't actually lift. You can't like do running. You can't do these, but now like my leash is loosened up a little bit. So I'm starting to throw weight around now and I'm feeling really good. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I never played football. I'm not a big football guy. It's hard to upset you.
No, I respect that. But I wanted to go into your high school too, because out of high school, you get drafted by the Giants. You pretty much tell them, hell no, I'm not going there. You go to school. How hard is it for you to turn down like a pro contract out of high school or even signed to like a pro team?
Well, it was like, I look at kids who sign now and unless you know you're ready for it, like signing out of high school is just, dude, I was a public school kid. If I were to go into a professional environment, like the environment that I started like after Wagner, I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm kind of glad I went to college because I also played college basketball. So I did that post-grad year at South Kent School to play basketball because, I mean, two sport athletes kind of run in my family. My uncle played both at UConn. My dad played both at URI. So I was like that year, you know, there was a lot of attention on me just being like a taller guy. I threw pretty hard in high school. And, but like, I was also pretty good at basketball. And, so like all these scouts were looking at me for basketball, or like the interest that kind of lingered for basketball was like, oh, he's a baseball player, whatever. Like, that's like exactly kind of what I didn't want. And being so young, I had no idea like what I was doing. So it was just kind of like, then just like my senior year, I had my best season of basketball. I remember thinking to myself, I definitely can play college basketball, 100%. I could definitely play both. I knew I could play college baseball. Had my best year my senior year. Then like I had a good senior year of baseball. I remember I committed to University of Rhode Island the end of my junior year just for baseball. And I remember being like, okay, I'm going to go to URI, play baseball. But then I had that year on the court and I was like, prep school was always an option. And I was just kind of like that one, like I knew a lot of guys who did that one year, post-grad year, just to kind of like finally be like the older guy in the class. Just kind of like my whole team is, I would say out of the 12 guys on that squad, 8 guys played Division I basketball. Holy 7 shit. Guys played. So it's like I was playing Division I basketball like in high school. We were playing against – I played against Noah Vonleh, who's in the league. I played against – oh, God, I could name drop a few more guys. But anyway, so it's like good exposure for like hoop. So like – and that was the case. Like doing that year, I remember being like telling coaches at URI, look, man, I like thank you for the opportunity, but like – right now, I just kind of want to do a post-grad year because I want to play basketball as well. Because also, everybody on that and gets a full ride for a basketball scholarship. So that makes it easier on, you know, my family, myself financially. So it was just kind of like basketball pays the bills and it comes right after. So like you just play baseball afterwards as soon as like the season's over with. But yeah, so that came up. I had a good year at South Kent, and I remember just like every open gym that they would run, the college basketball scouts that would come, the first thing I'd say is like, look, like, thank you, but like, this is my situation. Like, I'm going to be a baseball player as well. Like, I basketball is going to pay the bills, but like, I also got to be in contact with your baseball coach. And, you know, Wagner was like a great fit. It was just like the basketball coaching staff. And then like, they passed the phone number along to the baseball coach, Jim Caron. I was in contact with him, and, you know, I was a free baseball player to them because I was on a basketball scholarship. So.
Holy shit. So you got the opportunity to do both. I mean, and Amir talks about it. We had Amir Garrett on the show, front of the pod, and he did both at St. John's, or he didn't do both. Yeah.
He didn't do both, but yeah. I mean, dude, Amir Garrett and Pat Connaughton were guys who I was like, I want to do this. Like those two guys,
yeah.
Pat Connaughton played both. Amir Garrett.
Amir didn't play both because Amir, what, he just went there, then signed at a high school, but played basketball.
Signed at a high school, but yeah. Then did the year. No, it's, and that was exactly it. Cause I remember that was an option at a high school. I was like, I remember getting the call from the Pirates on like the third day. I would have been like a late rounder. It was before they started calling the names off, I guess. And then they were like, look, if you sign, like, we'll let you go back to school. We'll let you go to school and play basketball. If we take you in this round. And I remember just kind of being like, at this point, I was like, you know, I'm going to prep school. Like, I like this option because after prep school, I'd be eligible for the draft again the next year. So I was like, okay. But I mean, like that wasn't on the front of my mind. So it was just kind of like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to like, see how far, you know, basketball can take me. And, you know, luckily it took me, you know, decently far. And then I kind of knew where my bread was going to be buttered with baseball. Cause like, I was still so young, like physically. Cause like you get these kids who are throwing 100+ innings in high school and college. I'm just coming off basketball season. I'm not throwing in fall games. I'm not throwing bullpens as much. So like the most innings I threw in a single college season was like maybe 35, 40 innings. So
holy,
I was like,
shit.
So like, it, and I guess that was kind of like an attractive thing for like my selling point was like, okay, this guy, first off, like he's an athlete, I guess, which is kind of like they like a two-sport athlete, and like his arm is like where he's 21, his arm is still 16-17 because he's thrown.
No, that makes sense. I mean, and you want to talk about absolute freaks of nature, how like Amir, and you like Amir basketball wise he was, I don't know if you've seen his mixtape, you probably have, but
dude,
like windmill
him and Pat Connaughton, absolute, those guys blow me out of the water athletically, but I mean, dude, absolute bunnies on both those guys.
Yeah, Amir's fucking insane. I used to play Fortnite with him all the time, and he sent me a couple like hoop mixtapes and a couple things that he did. Like, he was fucked. Like, he was like a 4-star, right? Or 3-star. It was insane what this guy was doing. And then he just steps onto the mound and throws like 96 from the left side. It's from the left side.
A motion just like Chapman too, that little rocking motion.
No, Amir's a great dude, man. Such a good fucking guy, man. I love that guy. But and then so you get drafted the 16th round by the Dodgers. So how hard was it for you to pretty much like kind of gas basketball, man? I mean, obviously you're a big basketball guy growing up, all that stuff. You played since you were a kid. So was it like was it a hard decision for you to just completely shit can basketball like forever, pretty much like playing in competitively?
So it was a weird situation in like the day of the draft, because I mean everyone can attest to this who's ever been like, you know, like in conversation to getting drafted. You're being told you're going to be taking this round, you're being told this definitely, this, and then like day one I wasn't going to be a first rounder, I kind of figured that. Day two was kind of like, okay, like this is where they said. Then it's like day three, you're already turned off to it. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go back to school. Like I'm like, it was like the 11th round, 12th round, 13th round goes by. And I'm like, all right, well, at the time I was playing in the Cape, I was playing with the Bourne Braves, and I was like, okay, if I don't get picked until whatever, it's like, okay, I go back to school, I'm on a full scholarship, I'm playing Division I basketball. Okay, that's cool. I'm in the Cape League, I'll finish up playing baseball in the Cape, and then, you know, I'll go back to school, do my summer sessions where, like, you know, you do your preseason work, you take classes, and you just hoop and you play basketball. And I remember talking to my dad about it, and my dad was like, all right, so, like, you just kind of, like, you kind of assess the negative. I sound pretentious for saying that, but, like, you assess the negative when you think you're going to go in the fourth to sixth, the eighth round. You're like, okay, now it's, like, the 14th round, 15th round. My dad's like, all right, so, like, what are you thinking? I'm like, go back to the Cape League and then go back and play basketball. And my dad was like, listen to what you just said. You're going back to the Cape Cod League. You're going to play there. And then you're going to go play. And then you're going to go back to Wagner and continue playing Division I basketball. Like, how many people have uttered that sentence before in your life? Like, in anything, like, you have that option. Like, that's perfect. Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that situation. Then whatever happens, happens after that. So it's just kind of like, okay. And then, like, by the time I shut the laptop, I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I'm going to do. I was upset. Then, like, my name gets called the 16th round. I remember kind of being like, okay, Dodgers, obviously, like, an elite, like very, very prestigious, like, organization. And I'm like, okay, like, that's pretty cool. But I was like, you know, like, the amount of thought and conversation I had with my dad, it was kind of like, all right, well, let's sit on it. I talked to the area scout, and, like, we talked, like, signing bonus and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, like, let me sit on this. He was like, okay, we get it. Like, whatever. And then I remember getting a call from my agent, and he was like, hey, make sure you're sitting by your phone. Like, there's a call that they want you to get. And I was like, okay, like, whatever. And then, like, I get a call from an unknown number. I was like, hello. It was somebody with the front office with the Dodgers. I forget who. And then they were like, we got somebody who wants to talk to you. I was like, all right, who could this be? And I remember hearing him say, Magic. And I hear Magic Johnson's voice on the other line. I was like, no shit. I was like, no. And Magic was like, Magic Johnson is literally in my ear on my phone.
Oh my God.
I was like, I remember being like, I couldn't speak. I had no idea what I said. I remember just talking to him, and he was like, hey, man, like, just kind of just being, like, real, like, just talking about, like, me playing hoop as well. And obviously, like, his background, I just wanted to talk to him about, like, playing basketball and stuff like that. Magic Johnson. But, like, yeah, he was kind of like, I don't know, just selling the org, which I already knew what the org had to offer. They're just so, they're like an elite organization. They've always been. And, like, yeah, no, he got that call. I got to chop it up with Magic for a little bit. And I remember being like, all right, well, and then, like, my approach kind of flipped. I was like, okay, well, I'm 21. This opportunity, you know, the clock could start now. And I was like, I'm 21. I'm mature enough. I did the prep school. I did, you know, 2 years of, because I was eligible after my sophomore year, because I did that post-grad year, 3 years out of high school. So I'm 21. I'm a professional baseball player right now. I was like, I know I can play professional baseball right now. I know, like, you know, the call from Magic was sick. But then, like, just, like, hearing that, and, like, just kind of, like, just, like, actually thinking about it again, because that was kind of like a shocking moment. I remember being like, all right, well, I'm 21. I was like, I kind of know what it's going to be like if I were to sign at 22. Cause, like, I mean, a year difference, like, signing is like,
You can lose a lot of money. Yeah.
You can lose money. You can lose a little bit of, like, stock with, like, how they treat you, how, like, it's just that list goes on. But I remember being like, all right, you know what? I just kind of wanted to get this thing underway because, like, I knew this was going to be where I'm going to end up. And I remember talking to my basketball coaches and just kind of telling them, like, hey, like, this opportunity, like, I'm healthy. I obviously thanked him for everything, but, like, I mean, I'm gonna sign with the Dodgers and stuff like that. So it was just kind of like, you know, they were super understanding because I mean, they, like, again, they knew what they were getting with you know, me as a dual sport guy. So like they kind of knew this opportunity was going to be on my plate eventually. So they were Bashir, Mason, and Mike Babel were the two guys I talked to, the head coach and assistant coach. And I was like, yeah, it's this. I got to take this opportunity. And they were happy for me. They were ecstatic. And so, I mean, that's kind of where the path went.
True. No, that makes sense. I mean, and when you're in university, I'm assuming like you said, I mean, you have such a high ceiling, a tall guy, gets down the mound. I mean, definitely throws fucking Ched. So was that like the biggest thing when you started throwing really hard? You're like, all right, like I might not be a basketball guy. Like I might not make, like, this is my, I have a better chance here with how hard that I throw in my projectability in baseball compared to what it's going to be in basketball.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I started to see the writing on the wall when like, it was my first outing. This is like the months of February and March. I mean, Amir and Pat Connaughton can attest to this. Like when you're playing basketball and baseball, that's when they start to overlap, especially in college. Cause like playing up like in the Northeast at Wagner, like guys make those West Coast trips, those down South trips where the weather's nice and they get those February games in.
Yeah.
I never went to those cause I was still playing basketball, but like I'm playing catch like after basketball practice with our basketball manager, I'm playing catch into a net, like just to kind of like in my sneakers, in my like practice uniform, like right after basketball, just to kind of like keep that. I'm like, obviously not doing enough, but like, that's all I could do at the time. But like, so it was just kind of like when I realized like my first outing at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, I came in relief. It was my first college baseball outing. And I remember like I threw hard in high school. I wasn't anything like mid to upper 90s, something like that. And but I threw harder than everybody else. And then I remember I came in for like an inning, or like an inning and a third. I closed out an inning and then I came in through one clean. And I remember coming back in the dugout and Coach Caron came up to me. He was like, "Hey man, welcome to college baseball." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool." And then like the guys, the starters who were on the gun, were like, "Dude, you're throwing 95 miles an hour." I was like, "No fucking way." And I was like, "Oh shit." I remember being like, I remember everybody like was coming after me right there. Like, "Man, put the basketball down. You were throwing 95. Like, what are you doing?" I remember just thinking like, "Oh, like, yeah, it's funny." But like, I remember thinking like, maybe they're kind of right. Like maybe like, I don't know. It was like, that was the time where I was like, I remember I called my dad afterward. I was like, "Dad, they said I was throwing 95. And he was like, "Oh, like that's never, you've never done that before." And it was just kind of like, I don't know. Like everything kind of came together and I was like, all right, well,
I've never thrown 95 again. Like radar guns, they're not like they were nowadays, like where everyone's got them. Everybody's got the Rapsodos and TrackMan and stuff. And it was just kind of like, I don't really throw it for a radar gun that much, but like this time where I got them everywhere, and it's my first college outing, and they were like, "You were throwing 95. I was like, all right. Well, that's another thing where I was like, my eyes opened a little bit. I was like, okay, this is like, I'm 6'10 throwing 95. Like, I like I said, I was throwing into a net earlier. Like, I was throwing to a net. I was on the basketball court 2 days earlier, like in New York, and I just flew to California by myself with my baseball stuff, and I get off and I step on the mound, I'm throwing 95. I was like, all right. I mean, I feel like this is where it's at right here. And I was kind of like, not that I was giving up on basketball, because I mean, I wasn't eligible for the draft that year. I was like, I'm still going to go balls to the wall on baseball. I'm going to go balls to the wall on basketball. And then whatever happens my draft year, you know, will happen. So it was just kind of like, that was like another eye opening.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's a good problem to have, is being nasty at two sports. Like I wasn't even good at one, but it's definitely a power move to be good at both. But so when you get to the minor leagues, obviously being a guy that's living the D1 lifestyle, obviously you're on pretty sick planes, your travel, your everything, accommodations are pretty well. And then you get to the minor leagues and you're absolutely fucking grinding, eating dog shit meals, staying in dog shit hotels. What was that like for you? I mean, to just even make that crazy, like that massive adjustment from D1, living the dream, dual sport athlete, to eating like PB&J in a shitty clubhouse.
Dude, look, that was my first thought process, but our farm director, Gabe Kapler, was totally revamped our meals are like our living, not so much our living situation, but like how we ate and like our like prioritized nutrition for like us athletes. So like I got to Pro Bowl and like I was in the AZL. First off, I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm in the AZL. It's 120 degrees outside. I got a 17-year-old Dominican kid throwing 102. I'm like, first off, what am I doing here? What am I doing? And then like, but like, yeah, like it was definitely an adjustment because first off, I didn't have to worry about anything but baseball. And then I'm on a call right now. Okay. But so I get to the AZL and I was like, first off, seeing these guys throw absolute fuel, and I was like, I'm definitely out of my range right now. But I mean, at the time, like you're there, it's like I gotta get my boots, I gotta dig in, and I just gotta do my thing. Like as soon as I'm worried about somebody else, that I'm already fucked. So it's like,
yeah.
But like other, like you were saying, like dog shit meals, like they put us up in a hotel at that point, and other than like it being so hot and like nobody at those AZL games. It was like, okay, I'm here. I'm eating good food in the morning, in the afternoon, and after the game. So I was like, okay, this isn't all that bad. Then I come to find out, like, the Dodgers, like, invested, like, millions in, like, nutrition across all levels. So, like, no matter where we go, from the AZL to AAA, if you go somewhere, say we're on the road to – I'm in Great Lakes, Michigan, playing for the Loons in Low A at the time. I go to Lake County to play the Indians at, you know, the Lake County Captains. The Dodgers have a catered meal service. So a guy comes in. So, like, the Dodgers literally just absolutely blew everything out of the water. And guys are, like, looking at me like I had 10 heads when I say, yeah, I had chicken cordon bleu after the game today and, you know, rice and, like, a good meal. And they were like, I had a bologna sandwich. Like, so, like, yeah. I feel like. And now you can kind of start to see like the shift in minor league baseball. And I think I know the Dodgers were the pioneers of this is absolutely ridiculous. First off, these minor leaguers get paid nothing. We feed them nothing. And we expect them to play every single day. Like, I mean, just kind of like with like, just starting with like the meals and the travel and like where you stay, it's like, It definitely affects who you are as an athlete. I mean, that's what you do every day. Like if I'm eating bologna sandwiches on white bread, like pregame and postgame, chances are my body's not going to hold up as well. So like, you know, it starts with like, you know, what you fuel your body with. And like, that's what Kapler took pride in. I mean, if you look at him, he's carved out of stone. He takes his physical health seriously, and he wanted to pass that along to all everybody across the board.
Yeah, no, Gabe Kapler is a freak. He's such a big part of the game of baseball, especially like with the way he shifted minor league baseball. But and then so in that Double A year that I mentioned before the podcast or in the intro, I mean that All Star year, you make the All Star team, as Mike told me, and he's pumping your tires. What was going right there that year for you? I mean, was like, was your off-speed pitches buzzing? Like, what was like the, what, like, were you just locked in the whole time?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, first off, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of my first couple few years in Pro Ball. It was my first years lifting all winter and like just kind of like being engulfed in it. Just being like, okay, I was working out 5 days a week, like doing everything correctly, like throwing and stuff. And I was just kind of like, not like making myself like mentally, like mental soup, like thinking about it too much, like putting too much on me. Every year I was a starter at the time. And it was like every 5 days I was like, you have to do this. You have to go six innings. You have to do this. You can't.
Yeah.
And then, like, once, like, I would get – I'd be like, okay. You know, everybody who plays professional baseball is the stud on their college team, their high school team. You're not used to giving up four runs in four innings. You're not used to, like, getting absolutely your tits lit in the first inning. You're only going two-thirds. I was not used to that because I've always been above it. I've always been, like – I wasn't used to, like, that failure. So it was like, dude, when I tell you it was start after start after start in that 2016 year, it was like, oh, my God. I was like, I cannot put together a good, a quality start. I could not do it. And I remember calling my dad and being like, look, I don't know if this is for me. Like, it was like that doubt. I was like, you know what? Like, my dad was like, look, you put all this work in the offseason. Like, don't just give up. Like, don't give this up. Like, you gotta see it through. Like, everybody goes through these ups and downs. You're just in the valley right now. So I was just having down years, and then 2017 started the same way. And it was that point where I was in low A and I got sent back to extended spring training as a healthy pitcher. When you're in extended spring training and you're with the 17-year-old Dominicans and your boys who are there who are rehabbing elbows, obliques, whatever, they can't throw and you're throwing. I remember being like, look, something's got to change. My care factor has to be out the window. Like, I can't give a fuck out there. I know what lies within. Like, I'm me. Like, what? Like, I'm feeling sorry for myself in 2016 and, like, how my 2017 started off. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going out there. All I'm trying to do is just punch guys out. And you can ask Mike Adams, too. So I had a phone call to him every once in a while. I was like, dude, I can't care. I cannot care. Like, this game is driving me insane. Then, like, my 2017 year after, like, getting sent to extended, it was like I got sent back to low A. And then I had, like, my outings from there on in low A. In, like, 11 innings, I had, like, 28 strikeouts, no hits. And I remember just being like, all right, this is it. I was like, I don't care. I literally don't care. I was like, I've been booed off a low A mound. I was booed off the mound one time going, like, an inning and a third. I gave up, like, eight runs or something absolutely astronomical. And in the home stadium, they're booing me off the mound. I'm walking off the mound. I'm like,
holy shit.
I was like, where the fuck am I? I was like, what the fuck happened? I was like, I used to be the man. What the hell is this about? But, like,
yeah.
No, like, it's honestly true. Like, you got to see, like, rock bottom before, like, you see any sort of growth. And, like, that was honestly what I needed, like, getting sent back. And then, like, 2017 carried into 2018. And then 2019, it was just, like, everything started to click. Because, like, honestly, I was hanging out with – I was in Jersey at BPC with Mike Adams, like, fine-tuning, like, my slider, fine-tuning, like, my delivery. And then that's when, like, my fastball went from where I would be, like, 92, 95. My fastball went from, like, 95, 98. And then it was, like, all right, like, I can't be touched. I was, like, the care factor – and, like, my confidence was just, like, they were, like, leaving. Yeah. And, like, I mean, I'm still, like the combination between that rock bottom, like, how I know I can throw, it's, like, it's the recipe for, like, it's what you need to move forward. And, like, that long story short, that 2019 year, I was just locked. And it was just kind of, like, everything was working for me. And, yeah, like, the only thing you could control was what you did between the lines when you got called out to the mound. Because I got moved to the bullpen, like, after those atrocious years as a starter. And so, like, being in the bullpen, it's, like, what got you going was that phone call. And it's, like, all right, get long. And I'm, like, all right.
It's
electric. And, like, you trick yourself. Okay, from being a starter, I'm, like, okay, I got a long toss. I got to do this. I got to stretch like this at this time. In the bullpen, it's literally your rabid dog, and that phone call goes off, and you're like, I don't, like, tell them I'm ready. I don't even need warm-ups. Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, and you need two throws as hard as you can, and then you run out there, and then you just go shove. It's like, how good can I be with as less as possible? And it's just kind of like, that's just kind of like how you got to be wired.
Dude, honestly, and I've like always said this on the podcast, I legitimately think being like a bullpen guy is substantially more electric than being a starter. Like, because in a bullpen guy, you kind of have that element, like when you were a kid, when you're going to play every single day or every other day. I like the element of just being in the bullpen. It's like your name gets called no matter what situation. I'm assuming with a guy like you that throws gas, like you're close to that end, back of the bullpen role where you're like setup guy, closer, all that kind of stuff. You have a specific role on that team. If the team's up one or two, it's like, I'm going in there to fucking shove. Like, I'm going in there to fucking put up a zero, get the team a hold, get a win, whatever. To me, being like that closing pitcher and just how electric that shit is, one inning, just show your best stuff, is substantially cooler than being a starter where you have six or seven stretch out innings where you have to kind of pace yourself. That one inning of you coming out the bullpen throwing fucking 98 for like 15 to 20 pitches is the best thing on the planet.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's just like, it's just kind of like your mental approach, like being like that guy who's like being catered to, like, okay, I got my 4 days off. I can lift this day. I can do this day. And like, I'm not taking anything away from starters. They're badasses as well. But like, what my shift was, it had to be like, I was a starter my whole life. And then like, you get thrown into the bullpen and then you watch, like, you hang around guys who have only been bullpen guys. And they're like, I only need three throws. I'm like, you guys are fucking nuts. And then like, now like, okay, I get it. Like, you guys, like, you just got to have a couple screws loose at first to be like, get long up. All right, tell them I'm ready right now. Like, I haven't even stood up off the bench yet.
True. No, it's just, I mean, and you're with an organization where it's like, they're not scared to fucking call guys up. I mean, you saw it with like Josiah Gray and all those guys, like young bucks just in the show. Oh, yeah. And another guy, I don't know if you, so he came on the show, Zach McKinstry. Like, did you guys play together ever?
Yeah.
That's my guy. I mean, how cool was that to see? Like, his, obviously he's been kind of struggling, but his success at the start of the year, man. I mean, holy shit. I thought he was like a rookie of the year favorite. He was insane.
Absolutely. I mean, and he's another guy who's like, not a first rounder, just an absolute grinder. Like, we played in low A, high A together, double A. And then like, next thing you know, he's triple A in big leagues and he's like established. And you're just like, it's like, and like guys like that, it's just like, you can't be happy enough for him. Cause it's like, in a system where it's like, everybody's like kind of catered to certain guys and like certain guys don't get like light here or whatnot. Like, Dodgers do a great job of like, you know, if you're having a season, you're going like Zach McKinstry, like from Central Michigan, get up there. Like, you're playing second base for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he just goes out there and just, I mean, the list goes on. And like, he's not the only guy that's been like that. So it's like, just a guy like that, you love to see him.
He's a great dude, man. He's a great dude. I was pumped to see, because I had him on in the offseason before spring training, and then he raked in spring training, made the team, and then had a great year. But I wanted to go into that injury. So when did you get, like, because obviously you had the idea, the Tommy John and all that kind of stuff. And especially nowadays, right? I mean, it makes a substantial difference. Like, you see pitchers get some like crazy, like way better after the Tommy John. You're pretty much throwing the new arm, right? So, I mean, when did this happen? Like, did you realize right off the rip? It's like, fuck, man, that's it for me. My arms right now is fucked.
So it was like, again, it's the relief pitcher, rabbit dog kind of mentality you have. You're always going to throw through a little aches and pains and stuff. Everybody does. Yeah. Basketball players, football players. If you're performing, you just got to get out there. And I remember being at BBC, like, just fine-tuning everything and just like really doubling down on just like my force, my production, like as a thrower, as a pitcher. And I just kind of remember feeling like a little bit in my elbow, just being like, all right, like, this is like a normal soreness. Cause that's what it did feel like. I was throwing like pretty hard bullpens. Like I felt great, looked great, but like, there was just that little thing in my arm. And I was like, okay, like, I've felt this before. It's going to go away. Like, it's just my ramp up phase. I'm getting ready. At the time, I didn't even know, like, after the COVID year, I didn't know if spring training was going to be on time. I didn't know. So like, I'm staying ready for almost nothing. Like, it was such a weird time. So like, there could have been a mistake on throwing too much, not throwing enough. There's a difference between throwing in games, throwing hitters, and then just throwing up bullpens and inside on turf. Like, it was, I mean, the COVID year mixed with like that, it was a mess. So like, I'm at BBC, I'm feeling a little something in my arm, and then like, but like still throwing great bullpens. At the time, I'm like, oh, it's a little bit of soreness. But then, like, I get invited to big league camp, which was great. And I got out there early. And, like, I'm playing catch and whatnot. And, like it was the same. And then, like, start throwing bullpens. And, you know, the first bullpen felt okay. And, like, I'm throwing bullpens on the mound next to Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw.
So, holy, like, shit.
And it's like, you know, I'm around those guys enough. Not, like, where I'm, like, I'm not starstruck by these guys. Like, I'm in the same clubhouse as these guys. So, it's like, but, like, you got Doc Roberts back there looking at you, like, talking to you. It's just a different atmosphere from BPC. No offense, Mike. But it's just, like, you got those eyes on you. And you're like, all right, I got to show them, like, what I'm made of. Like, I'm here for a reason. And it's just, like, those bullpens, like, you get a little too amped up. And just, like, with the whole, like, off season and the year before, like, your preparation was just not what it used to be because there's no gyms, no whatever. And I remember just being like, something's not right in my arm. It just kind of, like, got worse and worse. And like, from there, I was just kind of, like, tried to do the rehab process. And then next thing you know, I got an MRI, and they're like, yeah, it's you're going to need to have that UCL reconstruction. But, like, instead of having the poor me, it's like, okay, like, let's get this thing fixed. This is, like, especially with the Dodgers medical staff, strength staff, and, like, just the history of this surgery, if you dedicate yourself to coming back, you're going to be fine. Like, chances are the numbers are in your favor. So, like, they set a date for the surgery, and from there I was like, all right, like, I'm dedicating myself to coming back even better than I was. Because, like, the 2020 COVID year and now 2021 back-to-back TJ, right now I would play baseball on the surface of the sun. I could not tell you how badly I want to throw a pitch to a hitter right now. It's sickening. So it's like, it's just like, kind of like, okay, yeah. I could be like, all right, well, fuck, I didn't have a year of COVID. Oh, now I have TJ. Guess what? My boy, Mike Boyle, it's the exact same thing. COVID year, TJ. I can't feel bad for myself because there's probably 10, 12 other guys, maybe even more, who's doing the same thing. So it's like, once you crawl into your own head, you can't make yourself feel, you can't feel bad for yourself, because guess what? The game's going to keep moving. And if you don't move with it, you're going to get lost. And then next thing you know, the jersey's taken from you.
So how close are you to being able to, like, throw legit again?
Well, I'm working out right now. I'm starting to throw weight around. Like I said, my leash is kind of like, I'm starting to, like, throw weight around and stuff. I'm starting to, like, grip weights and, like do some, like, fun workouts now. So, like, that's good for my sanity. But, like, playing catch starts probably within the next month or so, month and a half. And it's, like, training wheels. It's, like, playing catch 30 feet. Like I'm playing catch with a five-year-old. But you know what? All right, now, chomping at the bit to toss a baseball like this again, because it's just like, when that's what fires you up, you'll do anything to do it again. And, like,
yeah, no, it's like that. It's especially with the fact that your arm, I mean, let's be real here. Your arm probably feels fucking perfect right now. Like, you could, in your mind, you're probably like, I could throw 90 feet right now. I could hit 98, right?
Knock on wood. It's spooky how, especially after being, like, just kind of like laying in bed, your elbows throbbing, and you're just waiting for it to get cut open and, like, get a new UCL in there. Like, right now, it's like I'm enjoying the process right now.
Yeah. No, because I mean, we've had Forrest Whitley on the pod, and he just got, like, oh, yeah, surgery like that. He's a guy that throws fucking gas. I think he just started throwing again a couple of weeks ago, and he said he feels fucking great. Like, I texted him, and he said it's like, man, it's crazy the difference that it makes, just that surgery and, like, throwing again. It's just, it's looking how far, like, baseball has come and all that stuff. Like, back in the day, like, in the 70s, 80s, you have Tommy John, like, your arm, you're done. Like, yeah. And now it's like, you're chilling. Well, you're not chilling, but
it's anything but chilling, to be honest. Like, you're every day, it's not just a rebuild of your UCL. It's a rebuild of your whole body. Cause, like, okay, maybe my hips are a little tight. Maybe my scapular movement led to this. So it's like, you're rebuilding yourself from the ground up. And it's just like, if you were to like, I mean, if you commit to that and it's like, everybody has this surgery, you see the success rate, you see you thrive to be like getting back out there and being like, holy shit, Noah Long's back on the mound looking at me. He looks fucking great. And like, that's like, and it's like, if you just like, I can't throw, I can't do anything else. So like my list right now is what I get up for in the morning. It's like, I thrive for that. And it's like, you just got to kind of put your head down like and do it. So it's like, I mean, if you, where you know, like, I mean, you know exactly what it takes. Like, you can't like, okay, I got a new UCL, I'm just going to lay on the couch. I'm like, I'll be fine. That's not real. But like,
yeah.
So like, it's the whole, the process of, you know, building your, from your ankle mobility to your everything. It's just like, it's a cool process to go through.
Are they like talking to you and keeping like you in the loop where they see you once you get back and all that kind of stuff? Or like, what's the, like, are the Dodgers even taught like communicating with you? The areas
they communicate. They ask like how everything's going. Cause like, I'm still like on their programs, on their, like on their PT and stuff like that. I'm just like, instead of like clogging up a spot in like the Arizona complex, they were like, okay, like it's on the Dodgers dime. Like, here you go. Like, contacted my agent. I was like, I'm staying out in Arizona. Like I want the best place, and Conti Sports Performance out here took me in. They were like, yep, we have pro guys like come in here all the time. Like, we have like a long list of pro guys that come in here. We've had X amount of Tommy Johns we've rehabbed, and like this is what they do. And you know, from there on, I was like, all right, like this is the place. And right now, everything's going great.
It's I gotta respect you. It's absolutely psychotic the fact that you're in Arizona right now. My buddies are in Vegas and it's 114 degrees there. Is that what it's like in AZ? Like, how hot is it right now?
I'm sitting in my car right now. I can flip the camera around right there. That says 101.
I mean, you're fucking psychopath. 101, dude. What the fuck are you doing, dude?
But like, okay, I'm from Connecticut, and dude, I'm coming off TJ. I don't want my first throw off TJ to be in fucking 30 degree weather. Are you fucking nuts?
Yeah, in the snow. Like, dude, yeah,
dude, are you kidding me? Like, I don't mind the heat, man. I don't mind the heat. I'm still in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. I don't mind it, man. Yeah,
see, nice. I fucking hate it. Like, and you can attest to this right now in like the Northeast area. Like, obviously I'm in Toronto, but the, like, our area, this is the perfect time. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's that nice little fall weather. I mean, this is just elite. And the fact that it's 101, like 115, I saw in Vegas, that is just pure psycho.
It gets nutty out here. My sister just got married, and I took the weekend to go. She got married in Maryland, and I touched down. I walked outside. It was like 71. I was like, oh. I remember making fun of dudes who, like, I'm a cold weather guy. I'm a Northeast guy. I take pride that, like, you know, like, you got that Northeast mentality. And it's just like, I stepped off the plane. I was like, I had to check myself. I was like, what the fuck are you about to say? Is it cold? I'm like, no, it's not. But like, when you take off in the plane and it's 113 degrees and you land somewhere that's 70, good Lord, that is a big difference.
And you just feel like, I guess your body's kind of adjusted to it, but it's, I don't know how the fuck you do that. Especially, I heard LA's pretty hot as well. I don't know if you've been there recently, but I heard LA is pretty bad. The whole area is fucking nightmare fuel. I don't know if people live there. It's insane. But a couple more things. So what are you allowed to do right now with Tommy John? Like, obviously you said you can work out. Like, I'm assuming you're not a golf guy, or are you a golf guy?
Well, no, I'm not a golf guy. And even that, like, there reaches a certain point. Like, they have it all scheduled out, because there's a lot of golf guys who obviously are baseball players. And right now, just that movement on the new UCL. If I were to go to like Top Golf or something, like, I remember a couple of my buddies who are out here are like, oh, let's go to Top Golf. I was like, no chance. Because if I pick up a club and I fucking, you know, swing and something happens, no chance. But no, like, I mean, you just, you find stuff to do. I mean, I'm not golfing. Like, there's comes to be a certain point where, like, I'm waiting until, like, my PT guys, my strength guys, I've asked them a couple times, like, when am I allowed to, like, shoot a basketball? And they're like, give it, like, a little bit more. Because, I mean, this motion on your elbow.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, just, like, let me know when. I'll, like, I can't wait to shoot around. But, like, yeah, other than that, like, you find shit to do.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, it's just, yeah, I know a lot of the guys, especially they, once they reach that point in the Tommy John surgery where they can golf again, they're just all in. Like, that's all they do, I guess, because it's just, you're pretty much rehabbing, but you can start golfing, all that kind of stuff. But the last thing here, I mean, so, and what's also really good about it, if you're looking at it from the positive side, you left such a good taste in, like, the Dodgers' mouth, like, before you got injured, you know? Like, that 2019 year, you have that really good ERA, that all-star year. So, it's just, like, they're probably chomping at the fucking bit, especially with, I guess, how many guys they need out of the bullpen and all their systems. Like, bullpen guys are – it's so hard to find a good bullpen guy. So, I mean, what are – do you have specific goals you're looking into next year? I mean, are you going to be able to make it for spring training, like, throwing-wise and all that?
Spring training is, like – I think spring training is out of the picture because, like, the throwing progression, it takes a while, and obviously you don't want to rush it. But, like, spring training is a no go. But, like, from there on, it's like, because I'm a minor league free agent after this year. So, like, if the Dodgers want to sign me back, or, like, you know, another organization wants to give me a shot, like, I know it's a tough approach with a guy who's, like, coming off TJ, like. Like, with signing a guy who's not going to be eligible for, like, a couple months, like, till, like, maybe June or something, June, whatever the case may be, whatever I come back. But, like, yeah, I mean, my goal is to punch through and be a big leaguer. Because, like, I mean, you know, I've developed in the great organization of the Dodgers. I've become the best pitcher I could possibly be with, like, their knowledge and their everything that they give to you, like, to use the resources that they have, from coaching to the technology they have at every, to the nutrition, like we talked about. Like, I've felt like they've helped me mold myself into the best possible pitcher. And, you know, it's the story of the minor leagues. If you, like, I mean, fuck, I mean, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball for the last however many years.
Yeah.
Like, if I can punch through with an organization that, like, needs an arm to, you know, eat up innings out of the bullpen that's somewhere else, look, man, I'm all ears. Especially right now, being, you know, like, going to be a minor league free agent. Like, I love the Dodgers; they've made me who I am. But, like, it's like I'm an open book when it comes to, like, my goals. I'm like, and that's to pitch the big leagues. And
yeah, no, it's definitely a good outlook to have on it. But anyways, man, I mean, it's pleasure to have you on, and. It's just people listening. You want to talk about a guy like putting his balls on the table, hammering the interview in his car in 105 degrees in AZ, whatever the fuck it is.
I gotta go to my empty apartment. I gotta get all my stuff. Yeah. I was like, I don't even have a chair to sit on yet. Let me do it in my car.
Yeah. Now he has to go to an empty apartment. Gotta get the fuck. One of the worst things of all time is moving. So just an incredible thing to mix this in into your day. But I appreciate it, man. And obviously, best of luck coming back from the surgery. Obviously, a guy that throws 98, so I'm expecting triple digits when you come back, whenever it is, 5 months down the road or whatever. Okay. But anyways, man, thank you for coming on this, brother. I appreciate it.
Dude, this is awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod, and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.